Welcome to RVing Dads. This episode is all about trucks. My name is Dustin Dankins, and I'm here with my co-host.
This is Todd Miller.
And today's episode is sponsored by Full-Time Families, your go-to community for all things family full-time RVing. Fulltimefamilies.com.
So we're coming to you tonight from southern Missouri. Beautiful evening. It's a, I would say probably about 65 degrees out. Sun is setting. We're sitting outside our RVs here. Park we're in is having an Airstream convention, so we're watching the Airstreams come in. Some beautiful old ones, new ones, and we even saw a Class A Airstream. All right, so our episode tonight is about trucks. There's a lot to talk about. Trucks can be a great topic to discuss. You have some very opinionated people out there, so be careful what you say about Ford, Dodge, or Chevy trucks.
And it's a great masculine topic as well.
Of course.
Everyone loves to talk about trucks.
So where do we start? A lot of different things to discuss. We have a little list going here we wanted to talk about, so why don't we start at the very top? And that was two-wheel drive versus four-wheel drive. So what do you think, Dustin?
Well, Todd, I've had both two-wheel drive and four-wheel drive, and I've gotten stuck in two-wheel drive and in four-wheel drive. I think, from my experience, it doesn't matter what you get. You have to drive safe, right?
Right.
Don't get yourself in a mud pit.
Yep, I agree. Although, I would take a different avenue. I would say four-wheel drive, my personal opinion. I've gotten close to stuck a few times towing my RV, and what saved me was that ability to quickly turn the dial, hit four-wheel drive, and pull myself out. I don't think, if you're buying new, obviously four-wheel drive just costs more than a two-wheel drive. If you're buying used, I don't see a big difference. So my opinion is if you can get four-wheel drive, go for it.
Yeah, even at this park here, I almost got stuck driving the trash to the dumpster. It was a little muddy, I was downhill, and tires started spinning, and so I just popped it in the four-wheel drive. It sure made it easy.
Yep.
We, also, in have you been to Monahans Sand Dunes in Texas?
Yes.
Fun place, but some of the sites are narrow, and you have to back around sand dunes, and I definitely needed four-wheel drive at one of those instances.
Yep. I actually had a situation in Moab, Utah. We were boondocking, and had to cross a dry creek to get to our spot.
Oh.
And I can guarantee you that if I did not have four-wheel drive, I wouldn't have made it. My RV and my truck would have gotten stuck, and I would have been calling a tow truck.
Oh, that's funny. We went driving off-road in Moab with several other full-time RVers, and we took this trail, which turned into a very sugar sand wash, and one of the gentlemen had a two-wheel drive F450, and he promptly sunk right in the sand.
Got it right into the sand.
But there were others that had four-wheel drive, so we hooked up some straps and pulled them out. So
right. So I guess my advice is if you can, get a four-wheel drive. If not, you'll be fine. You just may need to call a tow truck every now and then.
Yeah. Well, how about the fuel type? We kind of jumped past that. Gas versus diesel.
Yep. I have owned gas trucks in the past, and I've owned a diesel. I currently drive a Ford F-350 with a diesel engine in it, and my preference is definitely diesel. How about you?
I don't think it's even a discussion. It's diesel or diesel.
Right, yep. just for a number of different reasons. Diesels last longer. You'll get more miles out of a diesel. Diesels have a lot more torque than a gas engine. Diesels get better fuel mileage when you're towing. All those reasons combined, if you can do a diesel, I think that's my recommendation.
Yeah, even if you're undecided on this topic, just test drive both of them and go up a hill.
Yep.
And there's really no comparison there. And then add a giant trailer on back and you would never go back.
Yep. All right. Kind of along the same discussion there. Why don't we talk about...
Well, you talked about 350s you had owned.
Yes. So
obviously we have, 150s and 250s and 350s and 450s and 550s.
Right. And 1500s and 2500s and 3500s.
Yeah, all different numbers, yes.
That's a great thing to talk about is the different types. So typically you're 150 or your 1500 is going to be your half ton, your I guess your lowest towing capacity truck. And then you get into your 250.
But the most common you'd see on the highway, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Probably the most common trucks are the 150s, 1500s, for sure. Then when you're getting into towing, though, I think for both of us, the minimum you're going to look at is a 250, 2500. Mm-hmm. And it goes from there. And I guess if you don't know, 250 is considered a three-quarter ton, and a four or 350 is considered a one ton.
Yeah. And I've seen 2500s pulling some trailers, travel trailers and such, but small. If it were my preference, and I always go bigger rather than smaller. 3500 seems to be the de facto standard here on the road for most of the families that we interact with.
Yep. Agreed. And in most cases, your 2500, your 250 is going to have the same engine type as your 350. The biggest difference is going to be suspension, braking, and the things that are important to somebody pulling a big RV.
Absolutely. And also, we have friends who use 4500s and 5500s and even medium-duty and heavy-duty semis.
Yep. Yeah, there's quite a few families that we know that have a semi, which looks pretty awesome, but for a daily driver, I don't think I would go that route.
Yeah, for me, it came down to 3500 because it's the biggest truck my wife would be willing to drive to the grocery store. So I didn't have a choice.
There you go. All right. How about short beds versus long beds?
I really don't have a preference.
Okay. And we're talking here, short beds are typically 6 foot, long beds are typically 8 foot. You know, you can get away with either one.
With a slider hitch, right? So in fifth wheel capacity. So when you're doing travel trailer, it doesn't matter at all. But when you're doing a fifth wheel, now a short bed needs a special hitch so you can turn without the trailer and the truck hitting each other.
Yep, exactly. When you have a short bed and you have a fifth wheel, you got to extend that slider so your RV actually moves back towards the rear of the truck so you can make some tight turns. Where with a long bed, you really don't have to worry about that. Your fifth wheel can pivot completely around without hitting the cab.
I've always had long beds, and they've worked well for me.
Yep, agreed. I as well.
So how about single rear wheel versus dual rear wheel, also called a dually?
Yes. So actually, I have a number of people that I know that do ride with a single rear wheel. I personally have a dually. I don't think I'd ever go back to a single wheel. Dually just to me adds stability, some safety. You know, I can blow out a tire or a rear tire, I should say, and I'm not going to have any kind of dangerous situation. I can slow down and stop.
Yeah, I have blown a rear tire while I was towing on a freeway. Has that ever happened to you?
Fortunately not, knock on wood.
Yeah, well, it was nice because I could continue driving and get to my destination, pull off the highway, find the closest campground, and my family was safe. We just had to drive slowly. But I will tell you, it's still nerve-wracking to blow out a tire on a dually.
I'm sure.
It's exceptionally loud.
Something I don't ever want to hear.
But it was nice having that safety.
Right.
I've had the opportunity of having single rear wheel and dual rear wheel. And there really is no comparison. With a single rear wheel, anytime there's any kind of wind, you really notice the lack of stability. You know, every time a semi passes, it's going to try to pull you into the lane. And a dual rear wheel certainly makes it safe, right? You can just steer with your pinky finger if you so desired.
Yep. No, I definitely agree with that. I've towed in some pretty strong winds with a dually and can't even feel it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anything else on that subject?
Well, the big picture is, the big question is, what brands?
Yep, this is always a sensitive topic, always a fun topic to talk about with other RVers. I know I have my preference. I'm not sure if you want to talk here first.
Well, I've had Fords, and I've had Dodges, and I've had Rams, mm-hmm. which I believe are different, at least from a branding perspective, and now I have a Ford again. So I don't know what that means, Todd, but I've tried two out of the top three. I have not tried a Chevy. But we'll talk about the reasons why in a little bit.
Yep. And I'll say, actually, you know, no matter which one you go with, I firmly believe that, you know, between the big three, between Ram, Ford, and Chevy, you can get the truck you want. I think it really comes down to personal preference. Matter of fact, before I bought, I drive a Ford now. Before I bought that Ford, I actually almost bought a GMC Sierra. Very similar truck. Didn't work out. So I went with a Ford F-350. So I really think it comes down to personal preference. They all have their strengths, their weaknesses. And year by year, it seems like the truck that can tow the most changes. I know Dodge had it for a few years. I know Ford has it now.
But they're all so similar in their ratings.
Yeah.
There's not much difference between the trucks. They all have different motors and transmissions, but the tow capacity is quite similar.
Yeah, absolutely. Just don't tell some of the fanatics that. There are some fanatics out there. You'll meet them, and they love their trucks, and that's that.
Absolutely. Well, new versus used. What's your choice there?
That's always a tough one. Personally, I would rather go with used. Let a couple years of depreciation go by, and then I pick up mine. How about you?
I've done both. I've done two used and two new. And in the end, it really doesn't matter. I think you end up paying the same. In the end, one you're paying up front, the other you're going to pay over the lifetime.
Yep, that's a good point. So I guess what we're both saying is you really can't go wrong with any of the big three, especially when you're talking 3/4, 1-ton trucks. But what is it about your truck that made you pick it? What features do you find to be the most important for you?
Oh, the features, that's the big one. So I've been into many dealerships and used car lots, and you wouldn't believe how hard it is to say, I would like a dually diesel truck that can fit a family of six and tow a 20,000 pound camper.
Right.
And everyone says, oh, we have a whole row of those. And we walk back there and they're not dualies, they're not diesel, they can't fit six people, and they can't tow a fifth wheel. The biggest one is probably fitting six people with the bench seat.
Yeah, we had that. So my family is five, but we do have a big dog, so we did need a tow vehicle that could fit all six of us. And, you know, from my experience, it took me looking for, I was looking for used, and I was looking multiple states. It took me a couple of months to find a 350 that had a bench seat in the front.
Mm-hmm.
They're tough to come by, and I would say they're usually your lower-end models. You're not going to find a Lariat or any of the high-end models with a bench seat in the front.
Yeah, one of the things that I look for when getting a truck is the cheap things. They're considered cheap in the truck industry, but let's talk about rubber floors. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about bench seats. I prefer those. I would actually pay extra for those because I have a family with young kids and pets and...
Yep.
You know, how many pounds of food do you carry on your floor at any one time?
Right. And I'll be honest, when we bought our truck, it had rubber floors, and I was pretty disappointed. I was like, oh, look at this, rubber floors. But it had the bench seat. I went with it, and I got to tell you, about 2 months in, I was like, thank goodness for this rubber floor. After the 500th goldfish got dropped down there and a soda got dropped, and I could just sweep it right out the door, it was worth every bit of it.
Best decision ever. It's all about comfort. Well, talking about comfort, USB ports and cigarette lighter plugs.
Yes.
Those are a requirement for my family. If they're not there, I'm going to have to put them in. Because
yep.
Without it, my kids aren't going to shut up.
Right. Got to be able to charge all those tablets and those iPods when you're traveling down the road. The 12-volt chargers are great. You know, personally, I work on the road and I need a laptop. So there have been times when I've been able to plug... I have a 12-volt adapter for my laptop, and I can plug it in the truck to keep it charged while we're moving down the road.
So. Absolutely. And some of the newer trucks now have the built-in inverters, which is nice.
Yes.
So my mobile office happens to be the passenger seat of my truck in many instances.
Right. Yep. All right. Let's see. What else is important?
Well, safety is important. We can't skip safety.
That's a big one. I mean, as far as safety goes, you know, you feel pretty safe in one of these trucks because they are so much bigger than what's around you. But braking, stability, that's a type of stuff comes in too, right?
Yeah. Have you ever gotten in an accident with your dually, like an impact from another vehicle?
I have not. Again, knock on wood.
I have, and I can vouch for the strength of a dually truck. So I was actually hit by a car, sideswipe by a car, like a T-bone, I guess you would call it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably going 40 miles an hour. And my truck weighed so much that it just drove that car into the pavement. And so I just continue and drove off the car.
And that was it.
It just lifted me up and I just drove off and that was that. So there you go. Check one for safety.
Right, check one for safety. Along those two lines, and you said it with the dually, I think the braking and the stability when towing especially.
Oh, braking is so important, right? And that's one of the key reasons why I go with a dual rear wheel. Those bigger brakes, heavier duty, might not mean a whole lot of difference going across Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get to the mountain ranges,
yes,
it's it It's a big
makes
deal.
Makes a big deal. You know, that's another thing to talk about with trucks is those big hills, right? When you're going across Kansas, like you said, not a big difference. But when you're towing an 18,000 or 20,000 pound RV up and over the Rockies, you care about that. You care about your torque. You care about your horsepower, and you care about your braking. So my truck is a 2012. It has what they call an automatic engine brake. And it does have a tow haul mode where it'll downshift and help keep my RV from accelerating down a hill. I've actually used it going up and over the Rockies, and I will say it works pretty well. I can set the truck to keep me at about 45 on a really steep grade, and it'll keep me there for the most part. I'll have to pump the brakes sometimes, but not too often. I think you have a little upgrade over that, though.
Yeah, so I have the 2018 Ford F-350 right now. It's got the 6.7 Power Stroke diesel, and in comparison, the last truck was a Ram 3500, a 2015, which was new at the time, with 6.7 Cummins in it, right? So the engine sizes are very similar. The horsepower is fairly similar. The torque is fairly similar. So what do I like about the two in comparison? I think the Ford is faster. It can accelerate off the line faster. It's a V8 as opposed to a straight six. So that's nice. But the Ford has this, they call it an engine brake,
right?
But it's more of a hybrid engine brake, I believe. It really, it works. But I previously had the Ram, and that engine brake is just phenomenal. I cannot say enough good about the engine brake, the exhaust brake on the Cummins in the Ram. So one seems to go faster and one seems to stop faster. Take it what it's worth.
There you go. Yeah. And I should just mention mine's a 2012. Actually, I have the same engine, 6.7 liter, big fan of it. I bought it with about 65,000 miles on it. I've got a little over 145 now, so I put a lot of miles on it. It's been a very trustworthy engine so far.
Yeah, and I started with a van. I started with a Ford F-350 Econoline van with a 7.3 liter Power Stroke diesel, which is very loud.
Yep.
But I will say it was a phenomenal vehicle because it never had a problem. I just gave it oil changes and it just ran like a tank. It got stuck, you know, even on wet grass, but
right.
But it was fun.
There you go. That's your two-wheel drive, right?
Yeah, that was two-wheel drive. And then I went to a Ram, a Dodge at the time, a Dodge 3500, used Dodge. That was also two-wheel drive. And that didn't get stuck near as much because it was heavier in the rear end and it had the dual tires. Then I upgraded the four-wheel drive and made a big difference.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's nice to pull up at a stoplight and see a beautiful car sitting there, like a Corvette or a Mustang, and you think, yeah, you might have a little more horsepower, but I'm blowing you out of the water with torque.
You're right, there you
go. Let's attach a trailer to both of these and see who wins, right?
Yes. All right. A couple other things, I guess, to talk about. Personally, I have a over the rail toolbox on mine.
Yeah, what's in the back of your truck?
Well, past my toolbox, I have a tonneau cover, so you can't even tell.
Oh, you have both, yeah. Very nice.
But I love the toolbox. I keep quite a few tools in there just to make it a little easier if I need to fix something. And then, like I mentioned, I put on a tonneau cover behind that. And I like that because when I'm not towing, I can keep everything in there dry and kind of out of sight, out of mind, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little more simplistic. I have a hitch in the back, and that's it. I have some Rubbermaid totes that we duct tape closed, and those just sit in the back of my truck. Simple and easy to swap out, and they're waterproof.
How about on tow day? What do you put in the back of your truck when you...
Oh, on tow day, I stick anything heavy that's not going to blow away, like big chairs or a grill, things like that. How about you?
Yeah, same thing. I carry my grill back there, my propane tank for my grill. I think I've got a 7-gallon water tank, gas can. I actually carry a little giant ladder back there along with some chairs and a big heavy hammock for my kids.
Oh, yes.
So I'm pretty full in the back.
You're a good dad. You carry that around. I'm a little more conservative. I've lost several things from the back of my truck. It's unbelievable how much wind blows through there. It's like the trailer just pushes the air down into the back of your truck. So I've lost wheel chocks and light chairs and toys and everything. It
is windy. And actually, most of the things I have strapped down, tied down, so they don't blow away. But as a matter of fact, coming to this campground, I lost a 8-foot Rhino sewer hose. So someone got a pretty unpleasant surprise behind me.
A sewer snake on the highway.
Yep. All right. Anything else to talk about as far as the rear of your truck goes?
You know, there's some nice features. I've added lights in the back of my truck, and those sure are handy when you have to connect or disconnect in the dark. I try to never arrive in the dark, but it always happens, right?
It always does. Yeah, lights are a nice thing to have.
Oh, and shock absorbers for the tailgate.
Okay.
I'm in love with those now because I have little kids. My kids are, you know, my youngest is 4 or 5. And she always wants to pull that tailgate down, but it weighs so darn much. And I'm always afraid she's going to get squished like a pancake. So I've added the shock absorber, which makes the tailgate come very smooth and slow and helps me sleep at night.
That's a great option to have, especially with small kids.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. Today's episode was sponsored by fulltimefamilies.com. Feel free to contact us. I'm at Dustin at RVingDads.com.
And this is Todd at RVingDads.com.
We would appreciate any feedback you have if you agreed or disagreed or want to share something about trucks that we haven't discussed. Please email us.
All right. We hope this podcast brought you some value, even if it's only for entertainment.